Today I'll be sharing you the scripture from the Message translation, Eugene Peterson's contemporary translation of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And the reason I chose it is because I have read the Beatitudes many, many, many times, but these words from Peterson's translation really make the Beatitudes come alive, and I think help us understand what Jesus is trying to say about the kingdom of God. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions, and this is what he said. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one who is most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your whole inside world, your heart and your mind put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. And not only that, count yourself blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Even cheer, for though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yes, Harold, the sermon title is Blessed Are the Placemakers. Not pacemakers, but placemakers. But that would have been a good one to use as well. And that is not a typo or a misprint in your bulletin either. I did intentionally say placemakers. You know, typos are no big deal in an email, usually, or a text message, or a tweet, or even in the bulletin. Sometimes we still find a few things in the bulletin from time to time. But when they're in the Bible, misprints, typos can be a big problem. I ran across an article by a company, about a company called Peachtree Editorial and Proofreading. And this is the company, the biggest company in the country that proofreads Bibles before they go to print. And here are some of the typos that they found in some Bible translations. Thou shalt commit adultery. Know ye not the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God. Go and sin on more. Little transposed two letters makes a big difference, doesn't it? Let the children first be killed. That was supposed to be filled. So you can see it can be a big problem in the Bible. Well, today we're beginning a little mini sermon series leading up to Lent, which begins the first week of March. And we're going to be spending some time in the Beatitudes, but the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is basically Jesus' core teachings. And we're beginning today with the Beatitudes. And as we look at these Beatitudes today, you're not seeing misprints. When the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's not a misprint. When the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, that's not a misprint. It's there for a reason. You're blessed if you're meek. Yeah, these are things that are counterintuitive to us, aren't they? They're things that must be wrong in the Bible. There must be a mistake here. But you see, Jesus is laying the foundation for his sermon. His Sermon on the Mount, which takes up Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That we're going to be sort of dancing with over the next 4 weeks. The key, though, is seeing these words, seeing these teachings through the lens of the kingdom of God. And that they are part of a new reality that Jesus is introducing into the world. We're going to spend some time with that over the next few weeks. But what does Jesus say or mean when he says, "You are blessed"? Now, you know, we like to think of ourselves as blessed, being blessed to be a blessing. What does that word mean? We have used that word and perhaps even abused the word blessed or blessing and whatnot. It doesn't mean happy in the form of happiness that we understand typically. It's not about emotions. It's not about how we feel even. You see, to be blessed is to be given divine favor from God. That God has given you some a gift and you are privileged by God. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And that's really what we're all looking for, is God's privilege, God's divine blessing in what we do. And we're going to unpack that a little bit. The thing is, the blessing of the Beatitudes, we have to remember, is not about us. Just like this meeting later on is not about us. It's about the kids. The Beatitudes are not about us at all or about our feelings. But they are about what God has already done for us. And what God has done for us through Jesus Christ has ushered the kingdom into the world. The Bible says, and Jesus said, the kingdom is among you. The kingdom has come near you. And these disciples were blessed by experiencing the kingdom of God. And their lives were now defined not by fishing nets, not by businesses, not by commercialism, not even by their families or their status in the community. Their lives are now defined by this new reality that Jesus is talking about. And it comes to all of us who make a place, a placemaker, if you will, for the kingdom in our lives. You see, Jesus has turned everything upside down. The question today that I want to spend some time with in the time that we have, we're running a little bit long today, but that's okay. How can these Beatitudes encourage our congregation to remain faithful? How can these teachings of Jesus help us remain faithful in the midst of our current circumstances? In the midst of a troubled world, in the midst of broken families and financial stress. And we're going to talk about a few of these Beatitudes. Not all of them, but we're going to talk about a few of them. Now, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to read the first part of the Beatitude, and I'm going to have you respond with the second part of the Beatitude. The first one I want to talk about is, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. Think about that. When there's less of you, there's more of God. I heard someone say the other day, God's all you need when God's all you got. Remember that, Linnell? God's all you need when God's all you got. You see, sometimes we have to come to the end of ourselves, the end of our rope, as Peterson puts it, before we realize that we are not masters of the universe. We are not in control of every situation. We are not in control of many things. But what we do have, and find where we find ourselves a lot of times, is in a state of spiritual poverty. The end of our rope. And that leads us to dependence upon God. God is all you need when God is all you got. I don't know if you've ever been to the end of yourself or not, when you've just thrown your hands up and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. That's been my prayer the last few months about many things. But when we realize that, that's when God comes in and says, okay, are you ready to let me to take over? Are you ready to let me do my thing? Sometimes we just got to get out of the way and let God be God. Amen? Amen. The second one. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you. I don't think there's a person in here that has not suffered some kind of grief or loss or difficulty or tragedy in their lives. And certainly there is a time to mourn and a time to sing, the book of Ecclesiastes says. But when Jesus says you're blessed when you feel you've lost what's most dear to you, we're not just talking about emotions or feelings, remember? We should mourn things like what we're seeing in Cairo, Egypt today. We should mourn when we see children being shot in their classrooms. We should mourn when people are gunned down in their workplaces. We should mourn for all those back alleys and boardrooms and bedrooms and battlefields. We should mourn those that struggle with the temptation of drugs and alcohol and pornography. What's the blessing? How can this be a blessing? The good news is that it's not the end of the chapter. God is not finished. God is saying things will change. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what you are mourning or what you are grieving, God will have the last word, the final word. I've read the back of the book, and guess what? God wins. God wins, and there is resurrection after Good Friday. And God invites us to play a part by doing what we can to live together by kingdom values, living together to receive the peace and comfort that we thought not possible. It is possible because with God, all things are possible. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Okay, the next one. You're blessed when you are content with just who you are, no more, no less. The meek shall inherit the earth. That doesn't mean that we're weak. It doesn't mean that we are to be doormats, but gentle people who reject the powerful, the power-hungry, the controlling, and the violent, ugly ways of the world. I was reminded when writing this of Martin Luther King, who advocated nonviolent protest. Desmond Tutu, and Mother Teresa. And there are millions of others, I'm sure. We are blessed when we bring humility to a tense situation. We are blessed when we bring peace and a peaceful presence and a cool, calm demeanor to a situation. But also having open minds and open hearts to the opinions of others in respect for one another. No matter how tense, no matter how ugly things can get, and sometimes do get. You are blessed when you show mercy and grace towards others, especially to those of the household of God. Next. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. You're blessed when you're actively doing the will of God, seeking God in all that you do, seeking to live with God, that third general rule, staying in love with God. You're blessed when you're living and striving to please God, practicing the spiritual disciplines, having a passion for doing good for others, like clearing their driveway in a snowstorm, or paying for somebody's lunch in the drive-thru. I love that, John. You know, I've said that many times about paying at the toll booth. Why not buy somebody's lunch? I like to eat at Arby's, by the way, so if anybody's... You're blessed when you live by the words of the prophet Micah that to seek justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before God. following Jesus' example and having Jesus' attitude is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. For you will be filled, Jesus says. Next, you're blessed when you care. You're blessed if you have a heart that loves God and one another. You're blessed when you have a passion for God and compassion for people. That's Charles Stanley's favorite saying. A passion for God and compassion for people. You're blessed when you show single-minded devotion to God and your motives are pure and you have empathy and you desire transformation. I pray every day, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That should be all of our prayer each day. And finally, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. Your true character comes out in adversity. How you really are as a person comes out when things get out of control. We are blessed if we make a place for peace, reason, and work together. We are blessed when we dialogue with one another, when we cooperate with one another, and when we try to understand both sides of an issue and try to work for resolution and acceptance and to allow ourselves to be transformed internally and renewed, striving for a win-win and not winners and losers in anything. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are children of God. Blessed are those placemakers. Those are the ones who make a place for God in their hearts and in their minds and in their churches and in their homes. Blessed are the placemakers because these are the ones who walk the walk as they talk the talk. These are the ones who are meek and humble of heart and mourn and hunger and thirst for justice and those who are persecuted for doing what is right. Who are the peacemakers among us in this room today? That is our challenge today, to be peacemakers everywhere. Because then we become truly children of the Most High God. Amen and amen.